It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo, it is hump day, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Let's have a conversation. I am thrilled to have in studio with me one of my show sponsor partners. She's a patriot, a friend, and that's Helen Jean Mitchell. It's great to have you here.
Hi there, Kim. How are you doing today?
I'm good. And we're going to be having a great conversation in the third and fourth segment with the car coach, and that is Lauren Fix. We're going to be talking about electric vehicles. You've done a lot of research on this.
Yeah, and you know, it's rather interesting, the statistics I found and the demographics of the people who own them. And you know, I'm even seriously considering maybe trying one of these guys out.
Would that be your second car, or would that be your...
Like, I can just go pull a car out of my pocket, right? That's the problem.
So it's great to have you in studio.
Thank
We've
you.
Got a lot to talk about today. Thank you to each and every one of you for listening. You're treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to this team that I get to work with, and that's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It's great to have you, Steve.
Oh, well, thanks. I'm happy you asked me to be here.
I tell you what, things would go a lot differently if you weren't here. In fact, they wouldn't go at all, probably, Steve.
Well, there's something to be said for being a techno geek, I guess.
That's right.
That's for sure. Making the world go round. And be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests and our most recent podcast and op-eds. We have we haven't done a podcast recently. We're getting ready to ramp up and do some really exciting things on that. So stay tuned. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity on these issues, looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Helen, if something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. You should be able to persuade them, correct?
Yes, through the market. The market should drive what people purchase and what they reject.
Absolutely. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation. And Steve, when we're looking at this legislature here in Colorado and what they have been doing, finally, the session will end. It has to end by June 12th. And what they are frantically trying to do between now and the end of the week is astonishing. But you talk about excessive and unpredictable taxation. And yesterday when we were doing our pre-call, you mentioned something that each entity out there, so a Parks Recreation District, then the school district, then maybe the road district, and the state of Colorado, and the city that you live in, and the county, they all think that they're the only entity that is taking money out of your pocket. And when you pile all of it on top of each other, it becomes significant. And I'm concerned that the World Economic Forum, one of their goals is that nobody will own anything by 2030. That and I'm concerned that one of the ways they're going to do that is through this excessive and unpredictable taxation, Steve.
Well, it's I guess my thought is a rather simple one, and I'm just talking about the cumulative effect of local, state, federal, and all the other entities that you just mentioned, like RTD, and you know, now they're toying with another specialized district to get this border-to-border rail thing going. It all adds up.
Well, and then if Joe Biden and the G7 get their global tax, income tax, Helen, it's astonishing to me that, you know, what is happening through taxation. And I think we all agree that there should be some taxes because there are some things that collectively as a society we would pay for. One of the things, obviously, is national defense. But there's, I mean, it's getting out of control. And we need to start to rein this back in. Helen, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, you're right. I mean, they're just piling it on more and more and more. Any excuse without any consideration of how people are going to live their daily lives. I mean, I'm just talking, just going to the grocery store and the transportation that it, the tax added onto the food.
Yes, and now bag taxes, and I mean, really, you have to pay a tax for a bag to take your goods from a store, and they pick winners and losers also, which
right.
bags they're going to tax, which bags they're not going to. It just really is squeezing everyday hardworking people.
And don't, for and it's probably not set in stone yet, but the double taxation in terms of we pay gas tax, both state and federal. And now the state wants to, is toying with the idea of a user tax.
User
or
fee.
Yeah, mileage. You know.
Oh, yeah.
How far you drive your car.
Well, wait a minute. That mileage thing is already actually a subset of what I'm paying in gas tax, isn't it?
Right. And yes, they've been toying with that. I think it's a VMT, a vehicle mile tax. And first of all, does the government, is it really their business on where you go and how far you drive? Actually, if it seems like the free market, the amount of gas that you buy, it will dictate how far you go. You pay more taxes if you buy more gas. But I'm very concerned about this, Helen. I feel like it's another overreach of government. What do you think about it?
No, you're right. I mean, you know, they're going to pretty soon want to know where you're going or get you out of your car completely, take away your mode of transportation and keep you at home.
Well, and that's what some of these legislators down at the State House have said, is our goal is to get people out of their cars. Is that really the proper role of government, Steve?
You get the, if you have an iPhone in your purse, they already know where you're going.
They do. They actually do. Have you ever gotten in your car or looked at your phone? And like sometimes I would leave the studio and it would say 20 minutes to home. It's like they're tracking us. And I don't know where I gave permission for them to do that, but yeah. I probably did.
I never have gotten that. I'd probably throw the phone out the window. I have never gotten that.
Oh, well, that's...
Well, you know when you get a new app... were you expecting Lauren this morning?
I was.
Oh, he's here. Well, hang on a second. I'll get him in here.
Okay. While Steve's doing that, let's talk about our quote of the day. And since we're going to be talking about cars, I thought it would be very appropriate to go to Bobby Unser. He was an American automobile racer. At his induction into the Motorsports Hall of Fame of America in 1994, he had the fourth most IndyCar wins at 35. Unser won the 1968 and 1974 United States Automobile Club National Championships. He won the Pikes Peak International Hill Climb over 10 times. The overall title 10 times. He was born in 1934 in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and he died in 2021 in Albuquerque. And I actually was thinking about you. When you prepare for this show, Helen Jean Mitchell,
yes.
You do a lot of preparation.
I know too much.
And this is what Bobby Unser said. He says, success is where preparation and opportunity meet. And your father had a quote close to that, correct?
Yes, he'd say, you know, as a teenager, you know, you're complaining a lot. And I'd say, oh, so-and-so, so lucky, luck, you know. And he'd say, nope, luck is where preparation meets opportunity.
So true
you
that.
You better be prepared. So when the opportunity comes around, you'll find luck.
And Thomas Jefferson said, the harder you work, the luckier that you get. And so all that is, I think it's all success, preparation, hard work, all those things are very closely entwined. Let's ask Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group what he thinks about that. Lauren, I know that you're a sports fan. In fact, I think you coach baseball or you're very involved in baseball, and preparation is super important, correct, Lauren?
It definitely is. And, you know, I read a lot of quotes to try to read to my son and other kids, and there's some other famous ones by, like, Michael Jordan. I just can't remember exact quotes, but it's like, you know, just – stressing how important practice is. versus, you know, to get game ready. And it's a lot of what preparation is, you know, is practice in sports. So I agree.
Well, and setting some oneself up for success in buying a new home right now, preparation is important as well. And that's getting pre-qualified, Lauren.
That's right. And it's as important as it's ever been because the housing market continues to just be so tight with just low inventory. Every home seems to have multiple offers, and you got to know what your limits are when you're going in and what you can qualify for, and you know, how much you can afford to offer on a home in order to try to win the battle, as I call it.
Well, inflation, we kept thinking it would occur. It is occurring now. What about interest rates? Have those gone up right now, or can people still lock in a rate? What's going on with mortgage rates?
Yeah, you and I have talked about this a little bit, Kim, and I mentioned before how mortgage rates are loosely tied to the 10-year U.S. Treasury.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. Treasury, the 10-year, seems to have a limit or a peak at about 1.74, and then it bounces down. And today it's down in the 1.5s again, so rates have actually come down. So we're not seeing inflation hit interest rates yet. Again, a lot of it is because the Federal Reserve is the one that's in there being the buyer on the back end that's keeping the market really strong and keeping rates down to as part of their overall helping the economy recover. Eventually you hear words like taper where they start to buy less and less, but as of now they're not doing that. So rates are still low. You can still get in the twos. They're really good right now.
And if people have not refinanced yet, the time to do it is now, right?
Yeah, we've been saying that for a while, Kim, haven't we? You know, we keep waiting for them to go up and thinking they will go up, and they do. They'll tick up, and then they come back down. But there's no time like the present. It is. If I was sitting on a rate anywhere, maybe 3.5 or above, I'd be looking to do a refinance, to be honest.
Right. And you pay for the appraisals for my listeners, so there's really no harm, no foul if people want to check that out, correct?
That's right. I always offer that to your listeners. If we move forward with a loan, I will cover the cost of the appraisal. I just had that happen with a gentleman who called just the other day. So, yeah, it's a really good offer because appraisals nowadays are running about $650.
Okay.
So it's a really good saving.
It's a great deal. Thank you, first of all, for doing that. How can people reach you, Lauren?
Best way is to just call at 303-880-8881.
Again, that number is 303-880-8881. Lauren, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you, Kim.
Have a great day, and we're going to go to break. When we come back, before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is another one of my great sponsors. And today is Wednesday, so it's Wings Day. You buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free. And tonight the girls are coming over. Helen, you're coming over, and I'm going to get, I think, the smoked wings.
Oh, those are always good. Very popular. Line them up on the table.
And they're half the calories.
Yes, and they're very tasty.
They are very tasty. So be sure and check out. They have five locations, and that is Loveland, Westminster, Lone Tree, Aurora, and Colorado Springs. Go to my website. You can find all their specials. The Avs did not pull it out last night. They are down one game. Game six is tomorrow night. And so go Avs. We'd like them to get move on into as they're in the playoffs here. But Hooters Restaurants is a great place to watch the game. So check out my website. Check out all my sponsors. I recommend all of them. Click on the Hooters tab and all their specials will come up. They've got Kids Eat Free specials on Saturdays, happy hour, great time to get together with friends. Check it out. We'll be right back. Helen Jean Mitchell is in studio and we'll talk to Lauren Fix in segments 3 and 4.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's kimmunson.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity and look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We are really a voice for the grassroots, everyday hardworking people that are trying to get their brains around these issues. And not really, you mentioned this, Steve, there's not really a bill of the day because we are almost to the end of this legislative session. But per the Denver Gazette by, and this is an article by Marianne Goodland, she said in this, the House started off with about 50 bills left on their plate, including final votes on the property tax measure, which is Senate Bill 293, and decisions regarding Senate amendments on House bills, among them marijuana concentrates, which is Bill 13, House Bill 1317, outdoor cultivation of cannabis, that's House Bill 1301, a ban on single-use plastics, which is astounding, that's House Bill 1162, limiting the use of ketamine in law enforcement, that's House Bill 1251, and a measure on law enforcement accountability, House Bill 1250. And then I think also, I think we're going to see something on single payer or moving us towards a public option. And again, let's see, I think Patty had something else in there that, here we go. This was from the Colorado Sun. It says the Colorado legislature on Monday night sent a sweeping bill intended to drive down, they always say this, intended to drive down health costs. But when government gets involved, just remember, my friends, the cost goes up, the supply becomes limited, and the quality goes down. And this is House Bill 1232, and it said it passed the General Assembly without the support of a single Republican in the House or Senate. It says, additionally, a handful of Democrats defected to vote against the measure, questioning its effectiveness and concerned about its effects on the healthcare industry. The final vote in the House was 41-23, with one lawmaker excused. The final vote in the Senate was 19-16. My friends, elections truly, truly do matter. Ellen, changing course just a little bit. As we're going to be talking about these electric vehicles, and when you and I were talking yesterday, I think you and I both agree, and Steve, you always bring us back and make sure that we don't come across as we are anti-technology or we don't want new products. But what is so frustrating is when government comes in and tries to pick winners and losers. But I always appreciate, Steve, you making that clarification.
Well, yeah, and even with my prep with getting Lauren, Lauren Fix on here in a couple minutes, I kind of put that out there. It's like I wanted to make sure, Lauren, that you understand. It's like we are not some kind of tinfoil hat people that are just slamming the door on EVs. When the technology is mature, we will welcome it with open arms. But it is not mature at this date. There are a lot of holes in it, and the consumer, consumer just doesn't know.
Well, and the other thing is, though, it's not, we don't have an honest conversation about this, because first of all, government has been picking winners and losers on the electric vehicles for quite some time, and we hear legislators saying our goal is to get you out of your gas powered vehicle. Ultimately, I think they want the masses to ride on light rail, on trains, on buses, and walk and ride their bikes. And if people want to do that, fine, as long as those are economically viable, which they're not. They're subsidized significantly because people vote with their, with how they drive. When you look at congestion, people would prefer to be in their own personal vehicle where they feel safer. If you're in a thunderstorm, you don't want to be really riding your bike around, right, Helen?
Right.
Yeah, and but if people want to ride their bike, fine. But to have government trying to push us out of our gas-powered vehicles into electric vehicles and other things, that's not the proper role of government, Helen. You and I were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, it's not, and it's not the role to pick winners and losers by offering subsidies and our tax dollars.
And think about it. With these electric vehicles, the federal government was offering a $7,500 credit, a federal income tax credit, meaning people didn't have to pay $7,500 that typically would have been owed to the federal government. And then Colorado added on another $5,000 from Colorado income tax. Well, did these people that were offering these subsidies for the, and it would be the wealthy that would be taking advantage of these. And I love wealthy people. I think that's great. But for government to come in and say, if you do this, you don't have to pay your taxes, there's something inherently, I don't think, right about that, Helen.
Well, you know, when I was doing a little bit of research for this, well, a lot of research, right? and I was asking various people, you know, why did you do this?
You mean buy an electric vehicle?
Buy an electric vehicle. For example, I'm a ballroom dancer, mm-hmm. and the ballroom dancing crowd, boy, they got them.
They do.
You'd never think they were hip, but I mean, I ballroom dance, and three couples there, they all have electric vehicles, and they never mentioned the subsidy. They mentioned, you know, getting off the grid and being green. That seemed to be their major impetus to getting their electric vehicles, and they have Teslas.
They're more on the grid.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I caught that right away. It's like, wait a minute, they're more on the grid.
They want to, you know, be green in the environment and everything. So I was asking them, well, how do you like it? You mm-hmm. know, and they said they have no problem. Sometimes when they go into the outer woods, you know, mm-hmm. areas, they traveled from here to Florida. That kind of surprised me. They said most of the way it was just fine. It got a little dicey every once in a while. You know, as far as getting there, Tesla has a map in their car, and they mm-hmm. follow that, uh-huh. and it's accurate. And I rode in it, and I got to tell you, it was kind of fun.
I do,
you know,
yeah.
But, of course, fun, you know, like I'm going to just go, let's go have fun, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, most people don't have that luxury. They need to get from point A to point B and have it be reliable. And that's what they're finding one of the reasons why people are giving up their electric vehicles.
So people are giving them up as well, huh?
Yeah, mainly people, the biggest problem seems to be a charging location. You know, there's not a charging site at their homes. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be the biggest reason that the lack of being able to have that be convenient seems to be the biggest reason why they're giving them up.
Well, couldn't they just pay to put in a charging station in their home? Or, I mean, I don't
know
about that.
Well, you know, not everybody can afford that sort of thing. But what I read was that charging was the biggest thorn, specifically the lack of a 240-volt battery outlet at home. We know that home charging is the most influential charging location in the decision to buy an EV.
Now, you and I talked about this. Denver passed an ordinance in 2019 that all new construction and then all it was a level of a remodel that people would be forced to put in a charging station. Once again, I don't think government should be in making that mandate. If people want to pay to get that charging station, that makes sense. But for government to come in and mandate that, I don't think that's the proper role of government. Again, trying to pick winners and losers,
right.
it increases the cost of a home for people. They talk about affordable housing all the time, and then they put mandates in that makes it more expensive to buy a home. And I think a lot of people don't even realize all these hidden costs of the rules and regulations in home building. But that's a whole different thing. Let's talk about two other things, though, on picking winners and losers. And we know that the far left radical activists that have taken over the Democrat Party are trying to shut down fossil fuels. However, fossil fuels is one of the bedrocks of everyday people being able to thrive and prosper. You think about people in third world countries that are burning wood and dung and want clean water. They would love to have clean burning coal or natural gas. It would improve their lives significantly. But here we have in America, politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, those PBIs, that are trying to pick winners and losers. And one of the big examples is the Biden administration, when they came in, you know, they shut down the Keystone Pipeline. which is fossil fuels, and it, what it does to our partner up in Canada. Yeah. I mean, they're going to find a different market if they shut off this market, right, Helen?
Did you see the gas prices go up the day after he did that?
I know it. And then he comes in and he shuts down new exploration on federal lands. And then just recently, he suspends the oil leases in the Arctic Refuge. And think about the companies that have put capital into that.
Mm-hmm. And
investments, yeah. And what that does to that that single mom out there that's trying to get to work, her energy prices, her energy costs have gone up at least probably 50%. They're not helping everyday people. They're picking winners and losers, Helen.
Yeah, it's not, you know, you just struggle to get through a day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't need government getting in the way.
You don't need government to get in your way. I mean, every time you turn around, right?
That's for sure. And one other thing, Steve, I know that you love your natural gas range. And a lot of people love to cook on those. And again, trying to pick winners and losers, trying to shut down demand for natural gas, trying to squeeze that industry once again. It says there is a, this is from the Wall Street Journal, that there is this battle that's brewing over banning natural gas to homes and major cities. And guess which ones, which four would you think that they might be, Steve? Do you have an idea? It is San Francisco, Seattle, New York, and Denver.
Blue, 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 and blue.
Yeah. And they are proposing, they've either enacted or are proposing measures to ban or discourage the use of fossil fuels in new homes and buildings.
You know, I have a vivid imagination, and I'm just seeing this, my cooktop being hauled out the front door, and I'm going to, you keep advertising the fact that I have a gas cooktop.
Well, I understand that you're a great chef, and great chefs like those, the temperature that they can control their gas range, and if somebody wants an electric range, which is what I have, fine. But government should not be in the business of picking winners and losers, Steve.
Well, at the top of the show, you talked about defense. You made a reference to defense. And if you look up the role of government, federal government, I guess, the defense is one of those things.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah, there's a couple others, and we could make a whole show out of that. But how many references have you made to just here in the last 30 minutes? That's not the proper role of government. You said that over and over again. So you want to think there's a pattern here.
There is a pattern. But one of the proper roles of government, which is national defense, we look at what's going on down in the southern border. And a couple of things. There is a town down on the border. See if I can find that headline. I think you've probably heard it. There's a town on the border.
McCallum.
Okay, Texas. That I guess Hillary won that city by 40 points, and they just elected a Republican mayor.
Don't you think that has the Dems' attention?
That should have the Dems' attention. And so there are consequences to this. The other thing is, and we need to make sure that we have election integrity. Elections matter, and we're going to be doing a show on that on Monday. And you will not want to miss that. And Helen, I know this is kind of near and dear to your heart. When we talk about election integrity here in Colorado, there's only two counties that did not use the Dominion systems. And Douglas County, our county, was one of them.
That's
and Garfield
right.
was the other one.
Merlin Klatz.
Yeah, he's done a good job on that. Let's go to break. Helen Jean Mitchell, who is a friend, she's a patriot. She's a show sponsor as well, is in studio co-hosting the show, and we'll be talking with Lauren Fix. She is the car coach, and I want to talk about electric vehicles. We have some questions for her regarding EVs, because we really don't have, it seems, straight conversations about this. She did a video back in, I think, last year on this, and it was titled Forced to Buy an Electric Car, and so I am very excited to have this conversation. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity, looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Something's a good idea. You should not have to force people to do that. Helen G. Minchel is in studio. She is a show sponsor, a friend, and a patriot. We're going to have a good conversation about this, Helen, with Lauren Fix.
Yes, we are. I've learned a lot.
Yes. And Lauren Fix is, she is the car coach. She's an automotive expert. She has a number of YouTube videos at the Car Coach. She's an author, and her book is Lauren Fix's Guide to Loving Your Car. Lauren Fix, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
You've been in this this business for a long time, and you really are probably the go-to person in the nation regarding all of this information regarding all the different vehicles out there. And Americans love their cars, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And you would laugh and you'd be like, oh, no, everyone wants electric cars and mass transit. Well, if you are into cars at all, there's something called cruise nights where everyone brings their car, whatever it may be, from the 50s, the 60s, 70s, always the current product. And we showcase it. Well, just here in Buffalo on Monday, there was over 400 cars that came out. So that's a lot of cars for a small town, especially because I'm out in the suburbs. And this goes on every night of the week with different mixes of cars. And I am noticing a lot of young kids, too. There's a lot of enthusiasm. And what I'm not seeing is the enthusiasm for electric cars. You talk to people on the street, real people like you and I, and they're like, well, some people will buy into it, but then they're finding that 90% of the people that do won't go back to it because they don't like the restrictions and the limitations that go with electric vehicles.
Well, and Steve and I talk about this all the time, producer Steve, is because I look at these issues as freedom versus force. I served on city council of my city for 4 years, and that was very eye-opening to see not only at the local, the county, the state, the federal level, how government can come in and pick winners and losers through incentives on one side or restrictions on the other. And we see the Biden administration is trying to basically shut down the availability of fossil fuels by canceling the Keystone Pipeline. And he just canceled the leases at the Arctic Refuge and not allowing new exploration on federal lands. And so there's this whole force thing that's going around it, these electric vehicles. Then there was the incentives on the income tax credits, and you've got government force and coercion all over this issue. What's your thoughts on this, Lauren?
Well, you're right. And what they're doing is, you have to look, we went from energy independent or dependent, we were relying on the Middle East. Okay, so now President Trump comes in, he opens up the Keystone Pipeline, we have all this exploration, we're fracking all this, and what happens? The price of gasoline drops. And we are no longer reliant on the Middle East, which weakens them and strengthens the United States of America. And we were even selling natural gas and diesel to Europe. So that was then bringing in income, too, to our country, which keeps the taxes down low. So when the next administration came in, the first thing they did was cancel the Keystone Pipeline, cancel all the exploration, cancel all the fracking, and now we're no longer reliant not just on the Middle East. We're buying oil out of Iran and Iraq, and they want to go all battery. Here's what people don't realize. Those batteries are made of rare earth minerals. There is a limited supply. Mostly it's cobalt, cadmium, lithium, mercury, neodymium. There's a bunch of others, but those are the big five. So those big five come out of mines, out of the earth, which is not environmentally friendly to be digging up the earth for all these different rare earth minerals that have a limited supply. Just so you know, neodymium is used in a lot of things, including earbuds and phones, because it's a magnetic material. And there's really the smallest amount is of that material, and there's no replacement for it. So you need those materials in order to make a battery. And who owns all the mines? I guess I don't even have to ask you to guess.
China
owns all the mines, yes. So they own all the mines with all this rare earth minerals. They're mining them not just in China, but also in South America. But if they own all the mines, we'll no longer be beholden to the Middle East. We are now beholden to
China.
China. Yeah, and so this is not good. This is a bad political move, and I don't cover politics, but I will tell you, as a consumer and the people that I work with and talk to and analyze every day for the last 40 years, this is very concerning. If we are energy dependent, we are strong. If we are energy independent and rely on a country that doesn't like us like China, what that means is that they can control us. They can do anything they want. They can limit production. Let's put out a perfect example. The chip shortage.
Right.
Part of that is because China was hoarding, and they hoarded about 80% of what we need. And they said, yeah, we'll give you about 80%. But we're going to keep 20 because we need it for our stuff. All the junk that we buy at Walmart and Target and wherever else, that is that they need the chips for that. Now, remember, one chip does not fit everything. Everything is very specific to its application, whether it be a phone or a car, and not one car is the same as another. And then there's all the sub-suppliers that make brake systems and those wonderful, beautiful screens that we all love and the center screen. All that uses different microchips. So if one's missing, the car can't be sold.
Right,
so it's very easy to hurt us.
Yeah, and just a clarification, when we are energy independent, we are strong. When we are dependent on other countries, we are no longer strong. Helen Mitchell, I know that you've been in the computer industry, and I was talking to, where I get my car serviced, and he said that because of this chip shortage, that they used to have at least 200 cars come in a month, and now they only have 50 cars. And so this chip shortage is a big deal, Helen, correct?
Yes, it can be.
Yeah, most definitely. Hey, Lauren, several questions then, because people, well, and Helen, I'm going to go to you. You did a lot of research on this, and you said that some of your friends have said that they purchased electric vehicles and that they probably are pretty well-to-do. That wasn't their main vehicle, but that they felt that they were helping the environment, that it was being green, correct?
Yes, and it turns out it is their main vehicle.
It is.
Yeah, he bought two.
Okay.
One for himself and his wife.
Okay, so Lauren, a question on that. If somebody buys two electric vehicles, do they get income tax credits on both those vehicles, or do you know?
You get the income tax credit when you purchase the vehicle, unless it's a Tesla or a General Motors product. They no longer have the tax credit. Now, there currently is a bill in Congress where they want to erase the limit and say that everybody gets $12,000, or actually $12,500, off on every car. But this is what they don't get. So the average person will keep their car between 14 and 16 years. The average price of a vehicle is between $35,000 and $40,000 right now. So with that thought in mind, if you're driving a 16-year-old car, you're probably driving it because you can't afford a new car. So if you're being pushed by the federal government to buy a new vehicle, you now have a car payment, which you didn't have before. You now have twice the insurance. The insurance on these vehicles is twice as expensive as their gasoline counterparts. And then when you add on top of that, you start thinking, you now you have to charge. So yes, you have gasoline or electricity, but if you don't have a garage or a carport or a place where there's a charging station near you, you have to go pay for that. So when you start adding that up, it's going to cost you more, and there's increased taxes. They're jacking up the taxes on everything. Everything costs more, whether it be food, your phone service, everything costs more. So they don't have those kind of funds available. So who can afford those cars? Wealthier people. Typically, from the studies we have, if you make $250,000 or more, $250,000, you can afford to go buy a new car, and it's not going to impact you. As if that's not the average income in the United States, though. When you think it's somewhere around that $50,000 range, that's hurting a lot of people. And that means the wealthy people are getting all the benefits. They can do whatever they want. But the average person cannot. And that's where I really have a problem, because it really hurts them the most. When electricity fees are going to go through the roof, and they already are, they're the ones that are going to take the burden. And that's really not what this is about. They will never change their vehicle. And they think they can change every vehicle by 2035. Never going to happen, because there are people that can't afford it. There are fleets out there. So you need a mix. The only answer is truly a mix of gas, diesel, hydrogen, which is really amping up as far as reach across the country. You've got three major manufacturers. Hyundai and Toyota are really working hard on that. I know that Ford and GM have stuff on the shelf for hydrogen, which can power a battery-powered vehicle or a combustion engine. And then there's some new products called e-gas. There's CNG. If you do a mix, you've got the best answer. You pick what works for you. But forcing someone to do something they don't want, forcing people who already can't afford their vehicle to go ahead and buy a vehicle with the insurance costs, a car payment, and higher electricity costs is absurd.
But, Lauren, don't you think what they're ultimately trying to do then is to push that person into mass transit, onto trains, buses, bikes, and walking?
True, but right now there is also another proposal where they want to start forcing people to buy helmets, which I don't think is a bad idea, but at the same time, they want you to have a license for your bicycle. I can just imagine your child getting stopped on the street. Honey, do you have a license on your bike? Because if you don't have a license, I have to write you a ticket. This is the kind of thing, it's just more control. Now, mind you, I live in the middle of the country like you do. We don't live on the edges of the country. We don't live in San Francisco or Los Angeles or New York or D.C., where mass transit makes sense. Where I live out in the suburbs, there is no mass transit, and I'm not going to sell my house and move to the city. I like where I am. A lot of people do. And here's a perfect example that you know that people don't want to move to cities. Look at the price of housing. Now, I live in the suburbs of Buffalo. Market's crazy. Offers $75,000 to $100,000, $50,000. Way over asking, just crazy numbers. But when you look downtown, you can get your places at ask or below. That tells you people are looking to move to the suburbs. So this is not working for their big picture plan if they're trying to get people to move to big cities.
Wow. And we talk about housing all the time, how it's been public policy that has really limited single-family housing. And another thing that is really interesting is that the Biden administration is trying to use this big transportation bill, and embedded in that is trying to get their hands on single-family zoning through the transportation bill and through other things as well, through these CDBG grants and all. But I find that absolutely astounding also how they're trying to connect those two things, Lauren.
It's amazing. And my girlfriend is the number one realtor in all of Western New York. That covers from Buffalo up to like somewhere between Rochester. And I talk to her on a regular basis. She says that there is such a demand for housing right now that people are selling their homes without even a place to move to. I mean, there's not even a place to rent. And she has six families right now. And this is like the suburbs, very similar to where you are, very similar to where a lot of your listeners are. And they're saying there's no home. She's got six families. She can't even find a house for them because the demand in the suburbs is so high. Now, if I wanted to move to downtown, there's places. Now, I have a home in New York City I've been trying to sell for almost a year. I can't even get an offer on it. Why? Who the heck wants to live in a big city that's got a ton of crime? Nobody. So it's been the big cities are hurting, downtown Chicago, downtown Los Angeles. No one wants to live where there's crime. And they've made such a mess of everything that we are the ones that are going to have to figure out what works best for you and your family. And in many cases, it's moving out.
Well, yes. And then once again, we start to see, again, try to kind of force issues on that as well. One thing would be even like the global income tax that's being proposed is they're trying to take away people's choices, corporations' choices. Helen, I wanted to, and Lauren had just kind of mentioned this just a little bit, but on the research that you had found, is that many people that had purchased electric vehicles, we said during our pre-call or pre-meeting that they ended up selling them, and so because it wasn't performing the way they wanted, and you had some research on that.
Well, the main problem was the plug-in. Where are you going to charge it?
Okay.
But then again, I don't know how far out this is. You know, some of this stuff you've got to reach for the sky. There's talk about powering your battery through solar.
Huh.
Oh, that'll take forever.
I know. through the solar energy, you know, there's, like I said.
Yeah, well, solar energy, it can only handle about 18% of the load max, and that's been proven in China. So what is China doing? They have the same problem. We don't have enough power coming from our current base load. Base load is coal and natural gas. So what have they done? Last year, they built 17 nuclear power plants. And they got like 20-some in the process right now. They're building nuclear power plants because nuclear power, which is not subsidized by the government, is green. And that's the one item they don't want. They want solar and they want wind. But remember, solar uses the same battery-powered technology, the same rare earth minerals. And the problem with wind, it needs an engine that's electric-powered to get started because they're so heavy. And those big blades that don't look that big from the ground are huge, and they're made of fiberglass, and they're completely recycled. So what happens when they get damaged or break? They have to bury them in the ground. You can find that all over the internet. There's tons of pictures. There's tons of real-world experience of burying those gigantic fiberglass, which is terrible for the environment, in the ground.
Terrible for the environment. Helen, you had a comment?
So some of the other reasons people, besides the availability to charge, women were more tending to give up their electric cars versus men.
Okay.
Younger people tend to not be able to afford them because they don't have the plug-in. You know, you don't have plug-ins in apartments.
Right, okay.
You know, where people tend to live when they're younger. And also when it's cold. There was an article about somebody who had been traveling through Utah, had gone to the five parks, and he finally found a place to plug in his car where the cord could reach and there wasn't any snow, the availability. He got it in there and he plugged it all night, and it turns out he only got a little bit because it was cold.
Right.
And there has to be a minimum temperature that the car has to maintain.
Well, and Lauren, that's why going up into the mountains into Colorado, and you and I talked about this a long time ago, is just what Helen said, is that you don't get the complete charge. And you don't want to be chugging up the mountains and run out of charge because of the temperature.
That's true. Right. So the enemy to any battery is really cold or really warm. And a perfect example is I received a Ford Mach-E, the new electric SUV. And I was very excited to get it. And the driver dropped it off. I'm the juror for the North American Car and Truck of the Year. I'm also a World Car of the Year juror. So we get cars before anyone else. So the car arrives. It's 27 degrees outside. I live in Buffalo, so of course it's cold. And the driver says, full charge, 270 miles. I just charged it myself. It's got a full charge. I'm like, great. I get in the vehicle. He unloads. This doesn't take long. I get in the vehicle. I turn it on. It says 198 miles. I said, what happened to the 270? He says, cold weather, because it cuts the battery life by about a third.
Huh.
It was really bad. And I'll tell you what, that really puts people in a range anxiety position where they just don't feel comfortable.
Well, definitely. And I just did a road trip, and I tell you, the convenience to be able to pull off the highway and fill up, it takes, 5 minutes, and I'm back on the highway. That's a great convenience. Lauren Fix, let's go to break. Helen Jean Mitchell is in studio. And we'll continue this conversation about electric vehicles. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another one of my great sponsors. They're located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Family-owned business by Hal and Linnea Van Herkey. And they have a wider range of selections of blades from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And Father's Day is coming up. So whether or not your father is a chef or is a sportsman or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool is a great place to do your shopping. Check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Lauren Fix and Helen Jean Mitchell.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity and look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. It's great to have Helen Jean Mitchell in studio. And Lauren Fix, she is a car coach. She's an automotive expert. And she has written the book, Lauren Fix's Guide to Loving Your Car. And Lauren, I know we're just about out of time, but I had five questions or things that I wanted to have you nail down. First of all, My understanding is that EVs are significantly heavier than gas-powered vehicles. So that would mean that there's more wear and tear on our roads and bridges, but yet I don't think that they're pulling their weight from, they're not paying gas taxes, so it seems like they're getting a free ride, if you will.
Yeah, that's very good. Well, yes, it is true. They are heavier than their comparable gasoline version. That means it also wears out the tires prematurely. It puts more wear on the roadway. And people that have them think, oh, I don't have to pay gas taxes. I've got this made. Well, don't be so proud of that just yet. Because in the state of Oregon and the state of Washington, they've already started charging a by-the-mile tax. And that's coming. So they're going to get you whether you're on a bicycle, a scooter. They want licenses for that. They got by-the-mile. They're going to start charging. This is what Buttigieg has been saying. He wants to get anybody who's got anything, because if they can't get you on gas taxes and cars are more fuel efficient, which they are, the average fuel economy is supposed to be up to 34 miles a gallon. I think we're at like 27 or 28 miles a gallon right now of all the vehicles that are sold every year. It depends on the year, of course. But either way, so what happens? You are going to pay the tax. And if you're not paying it in gas or by the mile tax, they will tax you in some other way. Listen, they'll tax you for breathing if they can figure out how much oxygen you're taking.
Oh, that's amazing. Next thing, insurance for these cars is more expensive, correct?
That is correct. Typically, they're twice the insurance of an equivalent car. Another reason people don't go back to it, like you were saying. And the big one is range anxiety and time it takes to charge. Those are all big factors that make people go, you know, I'm not going back to this.
Okay. And one other thing, what happens to the used batteries? If you have to replace a battery, I think your video said that, I mean, it was a lot of money to replace a battery.
Yeah, it's about $7,000. And they are not recyclable, just so you know. That is the one big factor that makes them not an environmentally friendly option, is there is no way to recycle those batteries, those gigantic cells that are tons of them in every car from a Tesla to a GM product.
And where do they go when they're done with them? Do we know?
In salvage yards. You can't bury them in the ground. You're not going to send them to the moon. You're not going to put them in the water. You're not going to put them on a mountain. They sit in salvage yards and wait for someone to be the next trillionaire who's going to come up with a way hopefully to recycle these, but right now there is no way.
Okay. Hey, Lauren, we have about 30 seconds left with you. What's your final thought that you would like to leave with our listeners?
Well, I always tell people, do your homework. And that's what I do at Car Coach Reports. I'm on YouTube, on all forms of social media, at Lauren Fix, literally everything from MeWe, Gab, CloudHub, Parler, Twitter. I'm on everything. And I'm happy to chat with people about cars anytime. Just remember, please do your homework. Don't just assume the price of the car. Assume the insurance, the cost of maintenance. And just so you know, plug-in hybrids cost twice as much to repair. So do your homework.
Wow. Lauren Fix, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And that's Lauren Fix, the car coach. That was fascinating, Helen.
Yes, it was.
Now, you have done some research. You had a story you wanted to share.
Yes, it was a story about a man making his way through Utah, and he was wondering, can a Western road trip be done in an electric car? And the article starts out with, you're probably wondering why I'm driving a beater 150,000-mile Subaru right now instead of while my electric car is parked at the hotel. So it didn't quite work out.
I guess not.
And so he got to this hotel, you know, and he was going to stay the night, and they had a charger there. That was the only reason he got there. He finally got there, and he was going to eat there. And the attendant said, well, we got a new cook, and we're still trying to figure this cooking stuff out. So why don't you go down to the hotel down there, and they've got a great steak and all that good stuff. And he told the attendant, he thought, my car has no juice.
I'm stuck.
Yeah. He says, well, tell you what, this has happened before. So I have a Subaru over there. It's 20 years old. It's got 150,000 miles on it. Why don't you hop in there? And I know the guy down at the other hotel. I'll give you a note that says, you know, it's okay to drive my car. And so that's where the article opens up, where he's driving this beater Subaru down to the other hotel to get a meal.
That is interesting. We've got just a couple of minutes left. You've done a lot of research. What else would you like our listeners to know today, Helen, about some of the things that you found out regarding electric vehicles for this show?
Well, I guess I take a variety of opinions about this. Just because it was just so interesting, And then I've been talking, you know, to the ballroom dancing crowd.
Right? Never knew they were the EV crowd.
No idea. And what I'm thinking is, in town, these are great, like, commuter cars, you know, to get from one place to the other, relatively close distance. But if you want to go out into the wilderness, you're going to run into some of these, what they term early adapter problems.
Okay.
You know, where you're not going to be able to find a charging station, or it's going to be buried in the snow, or the cord's going to be too long or too short. But then this is how the article ends on a positive note. It says, but driving off the beaten path has always required a little risk, an adventuresome spirit, and occasionally turning to a friend when you find yourself in trouble. And they coin it as, you know, the truly American experience.
Mm. Well, actually, I...
No, thank you. Yeah, I want to get there.
I want to get there.
I don't
want
to be worrying about my car and how am I going to get someplace.
And government doesn't need to be pushing us to try to do that.
I worry about where my car keys are.
True that. Versus where you can charge your car.
I had a breakdown yesterday morning. I couldn't find my keys.
Ellen, it's always a great time to have you in studio. Thanks so much for being here. And thank you for your sponsorship of the show
as well.
Welcome. I really appreciate that. And bear in mind, most people, and I love successful people. I love people that are, you know, moving up the economic ladder. But to have government coming in and trying to make these, push people into these cars, they're more expensive. They're not as reliable for everyday hardworking people. There's something that's just not right about that. So our quote for today is from Bobby Unser here for the end of the show. He says, if a person has enough desire, he will acquire the talent and he will build his skills. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a new-